This past Wednesday and Thursday, our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrated a holiday called Shavuos, the Feast of Weeks. On this holiday, they celebrated that God gave God's people the Torah through Moses at Sinai. Back during the Roman Empire, some of the Hellenized Jews, the Greek-speaking Jews, called this holiday Pentecost. From 2002 through 2007, I lived in the Bronx in New York City, where my family and some other companions and I were missionaries and church planters. During that time, I served as a pastor, a priest, a teacher, to those who gathered in various homes and other rented spaces. During those years, the place that I found spiritual companionship and prayer was in a local synagogue. It was in the Kruger Avenue Synagogue that I discovered common prayer and chanted scriptures. That synagogue was for me a safe place to share my joys and my hurts, my wounds. In this synagogue, some of my fellow prayers would show to me their tattoos from the concentration camps. They mourned with me the loss of my first baby at about 20 weeks. They welcomed with me the joy of my two healthy children and helped me to name them. This was an important place for me. And I remember how each year when Passover came at the synagogue, we would add a lengthy bit to our liturgy every day to start counting down the days until Shavuos, until Pentecost, waiting for Pentecost. And finally, Shavuos would come, and that would be the day that we would celebrate that God had given God's Torah to God's people. I delighted in their love and their reverence for Torah. For them, according to their prayer book, to accept the Torah, to accept God's instruction, was to become part of the mission of God. And so today we here also celebrate Pentecost with our red clothes and our streamers and whatnot, and we celebrate God's giving of God's Holy Spirit to God's people. And we celebrate our incorporation also into the mission of God. We read about this happening in two different accounts in this morning's readings. We had our reading in Acts and our reading in the Gospel of John. And John plays a little fast and loose with the chronology, as he is wont to do. But I think they're talking about the same event, when God's Holy Spirit came upon God's people. And so in our passage in John, we're reading about the disciples actually on the night of Easter. And for all they know, Jesus is dead. They have just seen the crucifixion 2 days ago, and there was no question. Their Lord was crucified, was killed. But this morning, they've heard some strange rumors. He might not be quite dead. What are you supposed to do with that? You know, I think when it comes to death, it's a lot easier sometimes just to know for sure. It's that in between. Are they not? And so at the beginning of our gospel passage, these disciples are in a dark place. They are locked up in this room, paralyzed with fear. As individuals, they have recently experienced much pain, broken hearts, broken bodies, broken souls. They have experienced betrayal and abuse. Hopelessness. I think all of us come in our lives to certain places where we can relate to what the disciples were feeling at this time. As a community, the disciples were experiencing hard times. Right? They had once had these ambitions, these dreams, this daring, this joy, And tonight they find themselves disappointed, facing separations and losses. And so we find this group of wounded individuals, this wounded community gathered up, locked up in this room this night, in darkness and confusion and fear. John tells us they are there for fear of the Jews. And suddenly, a Jew appears. You can hear James and John, those sons of thunder, saying, "Who forgot to lock the door? There's somebody here who doesn't belong. Who is this?" Is there terror? Is there curiosity? Is there confusion? How did this person get here? Who is this new guy? Is it a temple guard? Is it a spy from the Sanhedrin? Is it the NSA? It's Jesus. It's Jesus who greeted them. He said, "The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
All right. Except I guess he didn't have to say, "Oh, the Lord." That was kind of implied. So Jesus greeted them, and then he invited them to examine his hands, his side. These wounds that he had in his body were for the disciples kind of a positive identification. Yes, this is our Lord. This is the one who was just crucified and who is somehow standing here. I think those wounds maybe served as more than just positive identification, though. Those wounds were marks of Jesus' solidarity with his disciples. Jesus had experienced dark things. Jesus knew dark places. He had the scars to show for them. Jesus had experienced those things which now had these disciples locked up in this room. They had experienced fear, doubt, isolation, and pain. And so in these wounds of Jesus, the disciples encountered something new. They encountered resurrection. They encountered this curious idea that death no longer had sway over Jesus and over Jesus' followers. And so to all the pain and the fear, the darkness and the uncertainty, Jesus said again, "Peace." Jesus didn't argue with their hurt. He didn't deny their pain. He didn't reprimand them for a lack of faith. He didn't even try to fix what was wrong. He just brought peace. He said, "Hey there, I'm here. I'm with you." A couple years ago, I did my first unit of CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. This is where I was at St. Joseph's Medical Center up in Bellingham as an intern chaplain. Margie Adams was in this unit with me. And our job was to go see patients at really remarkable times in life. And I was often struck by how lots of visitors would come in and they would have lots and lots of words to share with these patients. And yet, oftentimes when I sat with a patient or with a patient's spouse who was experiencing the death of their loved one, or I sat with somebody who's receiving a diagnosis that your life is ending soon, I didn't have words for these events. I felt inadequate. And sometimes all I could bring was presence, to be there, to be with someone in these crucial moments of transformation, and to listen to what was happening. And so it is fascinating to me, it's encouraging to me, that the mission of God is often the mission of presence. And where God is, there is peace. God is carrying out his mission with his disciples in this room. Jesus is present, and the disciples rejoice. I read this, and I don't think that the disciples were rejoicing because Satan had been defeated, because death was vanquished, because the good guy won. I think the disciples were rejoicing because they had their friend back. The one who loved them and the one they loved. But Jesus wasn't back just for old time's sake. This wasn't just a class reunion. The wounded Jesus appeared to his wounded disciples and he said, "Let's go. Your wounds don't disqualify you from the mission of God. In fact, those wounds inform your mission. Those wounds perhaps are what make you Christ-like." And so in baptism, the wounded Jesus meets the wounded us and imparts to us God's Holy Spirit. We are the fulfillment of Moses' wish that we heard this morning in the reading from Numbers, "Oh, that all God's people would prophesy." We are the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy when God said through Joel, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." We are the continuing activity of God's mission in the world. We are sent, Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." And so we are sent to continue the work of Jesus. We bring God's invitation to others, and we say to others, "Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We model, we teach forgiveness, healing, release of sins. We demonstrate what it means to encounter redemption, even in, especially in, our own wounded places. The last verse of our gospel passage says that we bring not only forgiveness, but we bring judgment. People experience judgment when they see the dissonance between the ways of God and the ways not of God. People experience judgment when in the midst of the drums of war and political posturing and prejudice, Brad Howard from St. Paul's Bellingham and the Christian Friends of Korea build a world-class tuberculosis clinic in North Korea and bring fresh water to various TB rest homes. The world hears judgment when in the midst of politicians clamoring with harsh anti-immigrant rhetoric and the ugly words of self-deportation, a group of churches gets together to run a day camp to educate the children of those immigrants, to reduce the inequality that they will experience in their lives growing up. There is judgment when in the midst of an epidemic of gun violence, we say peace. Peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. We serve the risen one, the one who conquered, not with a sword, not with a gun, not with military might, but with a sacrifice of himself. This is the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of God's mission, the mystery that we are invited to in flesh. To participate in the mission of God is to find life through death and to find healing through wounds. Amen. Amen.